Well, before we get started, I wanted to have a quick prayer for someone who sent me a text while we were worshiping. Some of y'all remember Rodney. His daughter is having an emergency C-section, so I thought we'd just go ahead and pray for that real quick. If you'll bow your heads with me, let's pray. Father, we come before you now. We're so grateful, Lord, that we can call on your name during the time when we're in the eye of the storm, Lord, and that we can trust in you, Lord, and that we can know that you are the one who is going to help us in the ways that we can't, in the ways that we are limited to help ourselves, Lord. Father, we would ask that you would lay your healing hand upon Jennifer this morning and protect this child, Lord, and everything would go well, Lord. And just give the doctors wisdom and use them as instruments within your hands, Lord. And we just simply trust you, Lord, during this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, well, if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. And, you know, this morning I was sitting there thinking about what I'm going to say, and I titled this message, Not Like Everyone Else. And I remember when I was in high school, I used to have this little bit of a streak in me, I think, that would sometimes I'd let my friends talk me into doing some things that probably wasn't a good thing. I remember one time we were all in study hall, and the reason I was in study hall was already kicked out of a classroom, and so I was in there as a punishment, and we were all sitting around goofing off, and so all my friends were saying, hey, they come up to me and said, hey, Scott, we're going to go into the bathroom, we're going to do stuff to the bathroom, make sure you ask to go to the bathroom, and, you do something. And I looked over at him, I was like, yeah, okay, I'll do it, man. And long story short, it was all a setup. You can't trust your friends. Did you all know that? You can't trust your friends. When they're smiling at you, you've got to question what's going on. And so lo and behold, I go to the bathroom and, I come out and the place is wrecked. And I thought, I just do some paper in the sink or something, 'cause there's really literally nothing left to do. And so I came and sat down, and my friend came up to me and he said, did you do it? And I said, yeah, man, I did it, yeah. And so I watched him. He went over and asked to go to the bathroom. I knew what he was up to. And then he came back. I watched him to come back, and I saw him go to the teacher. They were trying to pin it on me, right? And so I fell for it, but I was ready. So I went in there, and I said, oh, the teacher said, did you see anything in the bathroom? I said, yeah, it was horrible, terrible. Somebody is just really immature. And I just started giving him this thing. So, and long story short, I got in trouble, and so did everybody else. And my mother would say in a time like this, she would say, why do you have to be like everyone else? Why can't you think for yourself? Why can't you make your own decisions? You all remember being talked to like that by your parents? And so the idea was that my mom wanted me to understand that I needed to use better judgment and understand not to try to fit in with the crowd. You see what I'm saying? Because that's really what I was doing. I was just trying to fit in with my friends. I wanted to do what my friends were doing, and they were leading me down the road. And, of course, I probably led them down the wrong road, too. Don't think I'm some innocent victim here. I'll take my share of responsibility. But the idea was that we have to quit following the crowd. And she used to say to me, she'd say, Scott, if everybody jumped off the bridge, would you jump off a bridge? Of course, I would say no to her, but sometimes I would think, well, now, Mom, if all my friends jumped off the bridge, and if a few of them made it, I might do it, because I want to fit in. I want to hang out and be with my popular buddies and all this stuff. This is just the way we think. And so what I've noticed here during this this year, 2020, right? It's been insane, and I've just been stunned. I've seen things. In 2019, I thought I saw things that I would never be able to top, and we certainly topped it, right? So we've had a pandemic. We've had people lose their jobs. We've had people receive bad news. In ministry, this happens too regularly, actually. But we've had people have bad news. People have lost their jobs. People have been sick. People have been fighting COVID-19. I mean, you just start going down the list, and it's just, you name it, and it just seems like it happened. And I saw a post on Facebook last night right before I went to bed, and somebody posted, I don't know if y'all, does anybody watch Oak Island, the treasure, Lost Treasure of Oak Island on the History Channel? Okay. Somebody even posted that it was such a crazy year that they suspect they'll actually find a treasure on Oak Island this year. So I just got a little chuckle out of it, and I just thought, well, that's true, because what do they usually find? Little musket ball or something every now and then, millions of dollars going into that. But anyway, so 2020's been crazy, and so the whole thing and what we've been doing is going through the book of Matthew, and there's rhyme to this reason. Next week is it, but we've been going through the book of Matthew because, let's face it, it's caused a lot of us to be online. There are all sorts of different perspectives right now out in society of what right and wrong is. There are some popular things, I guess popular fad, if you will, within the church. There's all sorts of stuff. And I always tell you, I'm equal opportunity basher. You can't take everything that I say as the gospel to read it for yourselves, right? You all know that I say that. But I'm just saying to you that what I've noticed in 2020 is that the church is having a very difficult time of not being like everybody else, if you will. I've seen a lot of times where people are justifying their actions and they do things that are wrong and they are misusing God's grace, and there's just all sorts of things that are happening. And I've even noticed this year, and this isn't a political statement, but I told my wife this was a tough thing because I believe God's called me to tell the truth. And one of the things that I've seen this year is I've even witnessed a group of well-known Christian teachers argue that we could accept a certain amount of abortion from a pro-life stance. Y'all know this isn't politics. We're talking morality here. Okay? That's what we're talking about. This isn't about raising taxes or anything or lowering taxes. This is about doing what is right. And so when I see things like that, I know that the church has a problem. And sometimes I think the American church really works extra hard to be like everyone else. And in our Bible this morning, what you're going to find is a piece of scripture. We've been coming to it for a while now. And this is really the heart of it. And when I hear these people making these arguments, I think I've told you all, I'm really an old youth pastor, right? I just got old. I mean, the kids, I'm not going to be somebody that appeals to a young person if they see me in public now. So they're not going to say, oh, he looks cool, let's go to his youth group. That's not going to happen. But I still have the heart for young teenagers, and I certainly get frustrated when I see people making these arguments, and they are telling everybody that it's okay for the church to be like everyone else. And Jesus is addressing this. And this is why we come through Matthew 5, 6, and 7 in particular this morning. And so what we've been learning, right? We've been learning that the reason we're not like everyone else is because we have decided to become disciples. And what we've been doing is we've been making distinctions between disciples and the rest of the world. And it's been going on for several weeks now. And one of the distinctions that we come up with is it actually comes from the Lord's Prayer. We were noting a couple weeks ago in the Lord's Prayer, one of the things that we pray is not my will be done, but your will be done. See, this is what makes us very distinct from the rest of the world. I think this is where my mother got that from when she says, don't be like everyone else, and she's wanting me to make better decisions, right? This is really what Jesus is saying too. Don't be like everyone else. So we're picking up on that. You know, a couple weeks ago we addressed the issue of being judgmental towards people. Well, and I told you there's some verses coming that we were going to have to reevaluate, because even though we don't have a critical spirit towards someone, we don't have that critical spirit because we recognize that if we see a speck in our neighbor's eye, we've probably got a log in ours, right? We recognize that we have our own problems. And so from a humble spirit, we are recognizing that maybe our neighbor needs to be turned from sin, because here's the thing, when I recognize that I may have more problems than my neighbor, then I'm able to go to my neighbor, right, and be able to help them. And it's very different than me judging them. So I said, what's going to happen is, even though we don't judge people, we still have to hold people accountable, because Jesus said, you must recognize when someone's doing wrong, and as a church, you are to hold people accountable in a loving way. You're not being judgmental. I think we all get that. And then last week, we were talking about the importance of our prayer, praying from the perspective that we want God's will. Remember me addressing this again last week? I addressed it. I said, look, we pray from the perspective that we want God's will. We don't want our will. We want to, if we love the Lord, remember what Jesus said? I did not come to abolish the law, but I came to fulfill the law. And the way that we fulfill the law doesn't mean that we're perfect, but it means that from the motive that is in my heart that's changed by Jesus Christ, I love my God and my neighbor more than myself. And so this is what fulfilling the law looks like. So when I pray, then obviously I'm going to pray rightly towards God. And when I pray rightly, that means he's going to give us what we desire, because it's what he desires. Everybody with me, right? So again, when we pray like this, we're really not being like everyone else. And this is where Jesus is driving us to. So this morning, I want to take a look at chapter 7 of Matthew. And this is, I'm just going to go ahead and say, if anything sounds offensive this morning, let's be mature. Let's don't say, I don't agree with that, and then not listen or anything like that. Because remember what I said, you must read the word yourself, right? Yourself. God will help you understand it, and you check it out. But let's look at this. This is Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read verses 13 to 20. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, comma, and only a few find it. You should highlight that. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. We're not judging them, right? We're just recognizing the bad fruit. I want to show you something this morning. First thing I want you to see is this. Disciples are not like everyone else because we take the less popular road. Now, it's interesting. I gave you some of the themes that's been going through this Sermon on the Mount that Jesus has been talking about. And another one that I probably should have added to the mix is the idea of the golden rule. Remember we talked about that? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so there's a reciprocity principle that's in play. And so what happens is, underlying all of this, what we might see is someone might come up to me as a pastor, and this happens regularly, where someone will say, I know what Jesus teaches, but I'm getting tired of letting things go with people. Have you ever had these discussions where someone will say, why do I always have to be the one that forgives? Why is it always falling on my shoulders to make peace with somebody when they don't work to make peace with me? In fact, I have these discussions with people all of the time. And I've shared with you before, as a pastor, one of the things that I understand is people have a personality. I have that personality, that the struggle that I have is to be forgiving. Somewhat, you can tell why I preach the way I do sometimes, because I have to work at forgiving people. And so it's so difficult sometimes. It should be a lot easier at 51 years old, soon to be 52, but I think it's actually getting harder. I don't know what that means. So I have to work. I understand what they're saying. And so what they're saying to me very often is, so many people, sometimes they name off these names and they will say, this person, this person, this person. They don't ever forgive anybody. I'm just using this as an example. and yet everything seems to go well for them. And so what they start reasoning to me about is, I might as well do what they're doing because this isn't paying off. I might as well be like everyone else. You hear what's actually being said. I might as well be like everyone else because me not being like everyone else isn't working. The reason it's not working is exactly what Jesus is saying here. Is because he says this. You heard it. He said, there's this wide road that leads to destruction. And on this wide road, everybody that thinks differently than Jesus Christ, that doesn't want to give forgiveness to others, everybody else is going to be on this road. Because everybody that's on this road is thinking me first. It's all about me. And so what's happening, the golden rule goes by the wayside. And so these are the people who are traveling the road that think that everybody ought to treat them fairly, and then they'll treat them right back. You see how it's all flipped around. And this road is the one where it brings comfort because I'm comfortable being like everyone else because everyone would understand me. And so I'm on this road to destruction, but it's a comfortable road to be on. And Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. You see, Jesus is the narrow gate. And if you go through the narrow gate where Jesus is on that narrow road, what you're going to find is a lot of discomfort in following Jesus Christ. So I think of that last song we sang, The Eye of the Storm. Did you hear all of the examples in that one verse that we just went through? That's real life. And what that means is it becomes very uncomfortable to be on a narrow road to find eternal life, to make me a disciple, someone who's learning to follow Jesus when everything is going wrong and he's not helping me. People don't want that road. And what I'm seeing in the American church these days, many Christians don't want to be on that road either. Now, you've got to understand, I'm going to move on, but you've got to understand what Jesus is doing here. He is talking to a crowd of people. And in that crowd, you're going to have observers, people who are just checking out to see, what's all this about? What is this guy about? Almost like surely God is with us. Here's a religious man talking to people that religious people do not talk to, but he's doing it. And then you also have the Pharisees in this crowd who are apparently, they seem to be religious, but Jesus says this. He says, your righteousness must surpass that of the Pharisees. In other words, these Pharisees are the ones who are actually pretending that they're serving God in the right way. But in reality, they're on the wide road because everything they are doing is from a me-centered perspective. So they're on that comfortable road. And Jesus is saying, these two groups of people, they're on that wide road. The narrow road is going to be those who are my disciples and who are following me. And it's not comfortable to be on that road. I remind you, the disciples all lost their lives following Jesus Christ, except for John the Apostle, who died of an old age later on. It's a difficult road to be on, and it's less popular, but the church has got to rediscover that we don't get on the popular road because that way leads to destruction. I want to show you the next thing. Disciples are not like everyone else because we recognize false prophets. They're out there. Disclaimer. I think the reason why this isn't preached so often is because every pastor is afraid that somebody's going to think that people are going to assume, I should say, that I'm telling you I'm the only one that you should listen to. Let me tell you something. There's a reason why you have different speakers come in through the year. You need to hear other perspectives. you would not be healthy to just listen to my perspective. Y'all understand that, right? Everybody gets that. And this is why I say, make sure you read it yourself. Look, I come from a different perspective than some other guys do, but we're all working within the bounds of truth, okay? The Word of God is where you measure truth at. And I keep telling you, we're in a society now that can't recognize what truth is. And the only way that you recognize truth is when you measure it against God's Word. You measure truth against God's Word. This is where truth is found. So what I'm telling you this morning, there really are false prophets out there now. So what I would say, I gave you an example in my introduction. I said, you know, we have people right now who have figured out some way to develop an argument from the pro-life stance to say, we'll wink at abortion. And these are Christian teachers. And I will tell you this, I've got some of their books. It literally happens. You all understand that God is not okay with us killing babies, right? This isn't a political statement. We're recentering ourselves. We are recentering ourselves. If people are mad at me because I'm telling the truth, then that, so be it. I want my conscience clear before the Lord, okay? So here it is. You have false prophets out there, and Jesus says this about them. He says, you know, look, these are the ones who are wolves in sheep's clothing. In other words, these are the people who are pretending to have good teaching or pretending to care for you and look out for you, maybe much like he's probably calling out the Pharisees right here, right? He's saying these people are really selfish on the inside. And if you look at them, even though they're telling you that you're getting an apple from them, you should be smart enough without judging them to recognize that it's actually a grape. Are you with me? Because inside of them, they're full of dead man's bones. Inside of them, they only care about themselves. In fact, Jesus in chapter 6, you remember that, he said, they're so messed up that what happens is they are actually only praying and giving and fasting so that you all will buy into everything that they say and do. And I looked up an example of a false prophet. I'm just going to say this, because it goes both ways, y'all. It goes both ways in politics. I want you to know that. You got to follow Jesus. You hear me? You have to follow Jesus. He's not Republican or Democrat, okay? I think he's an independent. I don't know. I'm just kidding when I say that. Don't get mad at me. But I'm telling you this. When I looked up the false prophet, you know what it was? In chapter 13 was a great example. There was a prophet named Bar-Jesus. I'm sorry. And that prophet, he was someone who was close to the governor of a province. And what he was doing is that he was giving advice to this guy. He's influencing the governor. The governor apparently wanted to meet some of the disciples who were now apostles. And when the governor wanted to meet him, the guy was afraid that he was going to lose influence and control over the person who was in charge of government. You can look in the Old Testament and you can look in all the New Testament. Anytime you see a false prophet, it is those who are trying to exercise a certain amount of control over people, especially in the political arena. Y'all follow me still? Because Jesus frees you from bondage. Did you know that? And they don't want you to be free from bondage. These people still exist. And in fact, I would say with the advent of internet and YouTube and with us having more time on our hands because we're quarantined half this year and probably will be again, you're going to have time at your disposal. And you better learn how to distinguish when somebody's telling you the truth and when they're not. Because Jesus said, you know how you're going to tell when somebody's a false teacher? You're going to recognize them by their fruit. Because guess what? A bad tree can't bear good fruit. and a good tree can't bear bad fruit. Now understand, he's not saying that you'll be sinless and they'll be sinless, but what he's saying, for the most part, you can always tell when somebody's teaching from their own benefit, because you know what happens? They begin to teach you from the Bible even in a way that justifies their sinfulness. Y'all hear me? Anytime somebody justifies committing sin and they're using the Word of God to do it, that's false. And this happens around here. I told you, I'm a youth pastor. And I watched our kids. When I say our kids, I mean when I'm at Liberty and Pickens, all of our Pickens County kids, buy into crazy stuff youth pastors were teaching them. And now here we are 20 years later, they know nothing about the truth of God. And let me tell you this. They only told them what they wanted to hear so that they could build up a big group. Anytime a preacher wants that, beware. I would like to see our church grow, but we're in kingdom mode now because we've lost sight of the truth in America. I'm trying not to be crazy sounding, but I'm telling you, if ever there's a time you need to be aware of false teaching, it's now. False prophets, it's now. Look at the last thing I want you to see. Disciples are not like everyone else because we are not misled by popular teaching. So I've already got a segue into this. And you know what happens? Those false prophets with that false teaching, you know what they do? They put people on that wide road. Because what happens is, when you get on that wide road, there's a comfort level in it because now you're being like everyone else. And when we're being like everyone else, there's a certain amount of comfort, right? So this false teaching now, when we hear this, what we're going to find is, and like I say, you all know I've got a method. We've been going almost verse by verse, haven't we? Because we want to hear what Jesus has to say to us. You don't want Scott Usselman's take on things, okay? Because I may mislead you. We want what Jesus says. And so now Jesus is saying to them, listen, if you're going to follow me, the discomfort that you're going to feel is because your teaching, my teaching, is going to be one and the same. And when that happens, your teaching is going to make the world angry at you. And when the world's angry at you, you may take beatings for this. Remember, that narrow road is not a comfortable road to be on. He's saying, but you're going to be well when it comes to the kingdom of heaven because you are connected with me. This is what makes you a disciple. So when you hear people say stuff like, look, don't worry about trying to live for the Lord, that is false. Look, don't worry about committing sin because he covered you by his grace. He knew you were going to sin. Can I tell you something? That's false. Because have we not been picking up through what Jesus is saying that Jesus cares about what we do? Next week, you're going to see clearly that Jesus cares about what we do. So Jesus is introducing now, by talking about this false teaching, he's already creating a pathway to next week's message, because it's going to be centered around doing, which we're told very often we don't do. Listen, you and I have been blessed to have, this isn't meant to be sounding smart, but this is true. We've been blessed to have a brain. God gives everybody a brain, doesn't he? We don't mindlessly just take what the Bible says, because here's what we do. We reason through it, and we recognize that when Jesus is speaking, it's true. And so God has given every one of us the ability to make judgments, to decide if this is a right teaching or if this is a wrong teaching. And you're not going to have an excuse to say, I was misled. Because if you're like me, you've got 15 Bibles in your house that you're able to read. So when I have God's Word at my disposal, and if I have received Christ as my Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells in me, then I'm capable of praying and sitting down and reading God's Word and finding out the truth. And remember what I said, you and I are in a time where people are saying certain things are okay now. They're not. God's Word doesn't change. You have to learn to recognize this. You have the ability to reason. This is what God's calling you to if you're a disciple. You can think deeply. You can go deeply in God's Word. If you're somebody this morning that is handling, say for instance, adversity in your life, and you don't want to follow the commands of Christ of letting it go or offering forgiveness or loving people who are not loving you back, and you are finding comfort in just staying away from them, remember what I said, Jesus is very different than other religions because we don't just avoid bad people, we actually engage them. And remember the golden rule? We give them love. We return for their evil that they give us, we return it with love. And so if you're not wanting that kind of discomfort in your life and you're wanting comfort this morning, you may be on the wide road. What good is it for us to have the Word of God at our disposal and do none of it? You'll hear more of that next week. If you're somebody this morning that says, Pastor, that false prophet stuff you were just talking about, that just seems outlandish, that's fine. Read it for yourself. Listen to what people are saying. If you see people living in million-dollar homes and they're teaching you something, that's problematic. Somebody needs to say it. If you're listening to people, some of their teaching, and you're feeling justified and being able to have your way, remember what Jesus said? Not my will, but your will. And you're getting your way all the time, and you're finding someone who's telling you that it's okay, God doesn't mind, you might be listening to false teaching. Don't do it. Get back into the Word of God and simply find out what Jesus wants you to know. He will teach you. You know what I think would happen? If just here in Pickens County, for instance, if we would start buying into the Sermon on the Mount again, you know what I wouldn't hear anymore when I'm working at school? All of the crazy stuff that they think that they can do because God covered it all with His grace. Y'all, are y'all following what I'm saying? You know what I think would happen? These churches that look like wonderful museums would begin to have an impact on God's people, and God's people would say, you know what? I don't want to be like everyone else. I want to be like Jesus. And if we stop being like everyone else, Pickens County, you know what will happen? You'll start to see domestic abuse go down in our county. Have you ever noticed how high we are? Like one or two in the state. We got churches everywhere. We would see homes healed. I would see kids at school who learn to love in a healthy way and not feel bad about themselves and not even understand why. And they would be so much happier and not so angry anymore. When I'm seeing the effect of sin overwhelm an entire county, I'm saying it's because somewhere along the line we've missed the point. Something's wrong. And if we keep doing the same things over and over, we all know what that's the definition of. That's insanity. What if we did what Jesus said? My goodness. Praise the Lord if we did, right? And if ever there's a time, I'm going to wrap this up. It's now. Nobody can recognize truth anymore, but they can recognize it in me and you. Put it on display. So with all heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know where you're at this morning, but I know this. Whatever bad has happened to you in your life, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how he's going to do it, but God's going to redeem it. He's going to take that. He's going to use that. You have been on an uncomfortable road, and I'm going to tell you something. He's going to see you through that. You are becoming like Jesus. You are a disciple. Don't give up and say you want to be like everyone else. Because remember what we said, only a few are going to find that road to heaven. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you now. We're grateful for your word. Father, I pray right now that you would help me and everyone within the sound of my voice to rediscover that when we see a popular thing take place, that we need to measure it against your word, Lord. When people buy into a popular philosophy or a popular teaching, help us not to get involved in it. Help us to be able to discern through your word the difference between right and wrong. Help us to desire to be your disciples, Lord, and not be like everyone else. We're not here to become more like the world. We're here to help the world to become more like the church, where we do what's right towards our neighbors, where we love our God more than ourselves, and we do your will. Father, I pray if there's anybody in the sound of my voice that struggled with anything I've said this morning, I pray, Father, that you would speak to their heart, help them. Speak to them through the Holy Spirit and your word, Lord, and surround them with people in their pathways, that they would confirm and affirm those truths that I've spoken, Lord. Father, go with us now and bring us back again safely Wednesday and Sunday. Help us to take this into our workplaces and into our homes. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. God's people said, amen.